This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. According to a new review by the North Carolina Department of Public Safety, most state prison employees charged with crimes while on duty get off with little punishment. Out of 57 employees charged over a four-year period, only four got prison time. The review came after extensive investigative reporting by the Charlotte Observer. Gavin Off and Ames Alexander are investigative reporters with the Charlotte Observer. They've been leading the reporting into the North Carolina prison system and join us now. Gavin and Ames, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you?
Thanks for having us.
You're welcome. I'm fine. Gavin, tell us more about this review by the Department of Public Safety. How did it come about?
Well, last year, the Observer did a multi-part investigation, in part looking at corruption within the prison system. And that corruption, a lot focused on officers who would bring in contraband, tobacco, and cell phones and sell them to inmates. And after our year-long series, the lawmakers asked DPS, the Department of Public Safety, to provide more information into what we wrote about.
All right, Ames, and what did they find? What did this review show?
As you said, they found 57 employees who'd been charged with crimes committed inside the prisons over a four-year period. And just four of those people wound up doing prison time. 30 of them got probation, not prison time, and roughly 20 of them got their charges dismissed altogether.
All right. Now, on the surface, I guess if I heard that for the first time, I'd say, wow, there's something wrong there. But I don't know. Maybe that mirrors what we see in the general population. Are these statistics or these ratios different than what we might find elsewhere?
It's a good question. But we talked with a prosecutor who is the district attorney in Anson County, where North Carolina's largest prison is, Lanesboro. Mm-hmm. And nine of those employees worked at Lanesboro, and five of them got their charges dismissed. The other four got probation. And we asked him, what is it about these cases? And he said, well, one problem is that they hinge often on unreliable witnesses, inmates. And these are folks who are sometimes not willing to testify in court. And sometimes even if they do testify, they're not the most credible witnesses. So this presents a problem for prosecutors.
All right. Gavin, in your reporting, you take some of the specific examples that we're talking about. Give us a sense of what kinds of charges we're talking about here.
A lot of it is providing a cell phone to an inmate, providing tobacco or drugs to an inmate, obstructing justice, having sex with inmates. There was even a few times, or at least one time, I should say, where an employee was charged with helping an inmate escape.
Well, that's an interesting case. Let's stick with that one. That is the case of a former food service officer, Kendra Miller, right?
Exactly. She was an employee down at Brown Creek Correctional, which is now part of Lanesboro, the prison that Ames was talking about. And she was charged with providing a cell phone and helping an inmate who was serving time for second-degree murder escape. And she ended up, I believe, getting probation, Ames. Is that true?
That's right. She was charged with several felonies, the two things Gavin mentioned. She was also charged with having sex with this inmate. And the prosecutors wound up dismissing all of the felony charges and allowing her to plead to a misdemeanor, which meant that she only got probation.
All right. And in that case, do we know what happened in that case? Why were the charges lowered, and why did they have to dismiss most of the charges?
The DA would not talk about that. It sounds like there were some problems with evidence, but the DA would not talk about it.
Right. And let's talk about some other ones. Ames, any other stories that really stick out? There are a couple of significant stories that stuck out in this review, as well as your own reporting.
There was a former kitchen worker at Piedmont Correctional Institution in Salisbury who was charged with having sex with an inmate in 2015. She was allowed to plead to a lesser offense, a crime against nature, and she got probation. There's also a guy at Lanesboro who was accused of smuggling 4 wristwatch cell phones into the prison, and the phones were tucked into these hidden compartments inside bottles. And this guy gave a full confession to police, but he wound up getting probation as well.
Well, tell us more then. You talked a little bit about the reasons in some cases that these charges don't stick. Is it just a problem of sort of getting the evidence, or are we looking at some more systemic troubles within the system as it applies to employees, including guards?
Yeah, there's definitely problems within the prison system with their staffing. Most notably, they are short-staffed. I think statewide, they're down around 17% of correctional officer positions. At some prisons, especially the maximum security prisons that house the worst of the worst inmates, they're down as many as 37% of their correctional officer positions. So you could see why the prison system would be reluctant to identify, fire, or even ask for charges pressed against these workers when they need everybody that they can get to watch the inmates.
One of the other problems is you mentioned the fact that in many cases the inmates are witnesses and their credibility is in question. The other side of that is that they face their own safety risks if they were to turn states, if they were to testify. Is that also part of it, Gavin?
I'm sure it is. And what we've heard from a number of officers is that exact thing, that these good officers, which the bulk of officers are, I'm sure, are afraid of the quote-unquote dirty officers. And in fact, we've had officers, current and former ones, say that they're more concerned about the dirty officers than they are the inmates themselves. These are folks that are supplying inmates with weapons and supplying inmates with drugs and cell phones, and they don't trust them.
And Ames, you noticed that the criminal charges in this review, we talked about 57 cases that are part of this review, but then you took a second look at this and reviewed some of the caseload over the period we're talking about, and noticed there were some cases missing. Am I right?
Yes, there were several that we found, and I'm not convinced we found them all, but the list is clearly not comprehensive. The prison officials did acknowledge that they missed some, and they said that if somebody was fired or if they resigned and were criminally charged later, that the prison officials might not know about it.
Were there any prisons that particularly stood out? Are there some prisons that have worse records than others? Gavin?
Well, Lanesboro had 9 of the 57 officers that came from Lanesboro, and Ames and I found at least 2 more who actually were charged and are now or are going to federal prison. I believe Bert T. out on the East Coast had 8 or 9 employees as well. And, of course, there are many prisons. There's 55 in the state. There are many prisons that, at least on paper, didn't have any officers charged.
Ames, are there any problems? What do the people at the prisons and at DPS tell you about kind of what they think is going on here? And then, of course, the second part of that is what can be done?
Well, the prison leaders will tell you, rightly so, that most of the officers and employees in the system are honest and hardworking, and I think that's absolutely true. But many officers tell us that there are quite a few bad apples in the system as well, and it doesn't take many of them to really create serious problems in a prison.
Well, you've done some reporting, too, on even the qualifications, the fact that this understaffing has led to poor training and having to take, in some cases, underqualified staff. Was that part of this?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, these are really difficult jobs. They're dangerous. Starting pay is a little over $30,000 a year. Many of these prisons are in rural areas where the labor pools are shallow. So it's very hard for the prisons to attract qualified staff members. And so I think this is part of the problem.
Anybody talking about reform and what they would like to see happen?
after our investigation, to their credit, the prison officials did take some steps to stop corruption. They began pat frisking everyone who walks into the prison. Some states have already were already doing that. They provided prisons with what they call cell sense detection equipment, and that essentially lets them detect cell phones. And of course, they're speeding up their training. It was officers could go an entire year working on the job around inmates without their formal training, and that now they get training on their second week.
Gavin and Ames, once again, thank you so very much for your reporting.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.
Gavin Off and Ames Alexander are investigative reporters with the Charlotte Observer. You can find links to their work at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, a conversation with North Carolina Attorney General Josh Stein. You'll hear that on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.